to Over the Trent. Yes, we're back after a long delay due to varsity, exams, coursework, and two teams doing very well and very unwell at times for Notts County. I'm joined, as ever, by Kieran, who is down in Brighton. Kieran, how are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you. You're up in Nottingham at the moment, aren't you?
No, in Bristol.
No, you're in Bristol.
Me, Bristol. I went to Nottingham for Monday, which we can talk about in a little bit. It's been quite a weird few weeks for Forest and Notts County. Some quite weird results and other teams maybe going down that maybe we might celebrate. You never know. This podcast is a positive space, but we might be laughing at Derby later in the podcast. First time in the third division since the 1980s, my sort of home and spiritual area of football. Let's go to Notts County, who've been quite up and down in their recent form. Let's look at their past few results. Dispatching teams like Boreham Wood, a disappointing draw with Chesterfield, 3-0 against Southend United. Here comes Torquay with a 5-1 thumping of Notts County. But it's the way they've responded. Notts County have gone on to get a 4-1 win over King's Lynn. It's a really up and down league, a really difficult league to get out of. Kieran, how do you think, when you look at Notts County's results, what do you think it says about the team overall?
There's not much consistency there by the looks of it right now. You've gone from losing 5-1 to winning 4-1.
Yeah.
I know there's kind of a gap in the kind of quality of teams there because if my memory serves me right, yeah, King's Lynn is down in 21st.
Yeah.
Obviously struggling a lot in the league, whereas Torquay's relatively close to County, to be honest. They're only they're 7 points behind them in ninth, but they shouldn't be losing 4-1 to teams like Torquay. Yeah. They should realistically be higher up the table than seventh as well. But I think, I don't know, I don't see them getting out of the league this season. It's a shame, as it would be great to see them back in the Football League. I think it's too big of an ask now. Obviously they've got a game in hand, and if they win that puts them level on points with Chesterfield, which is up in sixth. It'd be fifth on goal difference actually.
The run in for Notts County is fantastic. I'll just go through their next few games. They got Weymouth, who are in a relegation spot. They've got Dover Athletic twice, who are at the bottom of the National League. And then they're playing Aldershot, who are just above the relegation zone. They're then playing Altrincham, which is a 15th, so pretty meaningless game. Maidenhead in 17th. Now, that's quite a bottom half run-in with six games instead of five, like for most of the top position. We also should make it clear that Notts County are in seventh, but they are also in a playoff spot. They then have, say, if you look at other teams like Grimsby, who are playing Boreham and Torquay, Chesterfield, who we just talked about being quite a close rival, have also got Torquay and Stockport, and Solihull Moors have got Boreham, Dagenham and Redbridge, and Bromley. It's a really tight finish for most teams around Notts County, but Notts County have a lot of bottom half teams, and if they want to get playoff promotions, they've got to win all these games, and that could really
work
up to say even fourth, maybe third.
If things possibly, no.
Yeah.
I mean, anything is possible in football. If they get back onto a decent run of form, then they have a chance to get through the playoffs. What actually happened with the Dover situation? Because they're sitting on 0 points, aren't they?
Yes, so they've been deducted quite a few points due to the financial rules, and they were very clear about not playing games last year due to COVID. Unfortunately, they're suffering because of this. So they have actually picked up some big results. They got a win just 3 weeks ago. I can't remember who it was against, but it was quite surprising. I want to say Boreham Wood. They have been a really disappointing story of the National League.
It was Boreham Wood.
And because of the harsh administration of the FA and the National League, they're the ones suffering. And Dover really were a good side before this, or a side that were just not thriving, but surviving quite comfortably in the Conference League. Mm. And now they're really into economic troubles, probably going down to the National League South. Okay, quick answer here, Kieran. Notts County playoffs, we're going to say, with their running of an average of sort of 17th and 18th in the league, it's quite possible they'll make the playoffs. Do you think there's a team there that scare you? Maybe, obviously, we aren't National League aficionados. Wrexham and Stockport are going up. It's a really mixed bag of former EFL teams. Grimsby Town, Chesterfield, Solihull Moors, all names we associate with League Two and maybe even League One in our lifetimes. Do you think the Magpies could get through to Wembley? And do you think they have it within them with players like Rodriguez and Harry Arter to win at Wembley?
Possibly. Grimsby Town is kind of the danger one for me there at the moment, along with maybe Halifax Town. Grimsby Town's won 4 of their last 5. So they're on a really, really good run of form. That one game that they didn't win was a draw as well. So they're on a really good run of form. And Halifax Town are also undefeated in their last 5 as well. So those two could prove to be the teams that obviously Notts County are fighting against. But I give them a chance to definitely get to Wembley with their run in. However, I don't know. It all comes down to these last few games. They need momentum going into the playoffs, as any team does. So if they have that momentum, they have every chance in the world to get through. However, if they don't pick up a good run of results here, I can see them struggling.
Yeah, it really is make or break time. And like we said, if they don't take these chances against really lower league, lower division rivals, then they don't deserve simply to be there. Let's move briefly on to Mansfield Town, who are out of the playoffs on goal difference, but have a game in hand. They've got Crawley, Stevenage to play, along with Salford and Forest Green Rovers. It's quite a difficult run-in for the Stags. Best of luck to them. They've been fantastic from considering the place they were in when me and Toby went there, right at the foot of the league. Nigel Clough really looking like he was going to get sacked. To be in 8th, it's sensational. They deserve all the best luck in the world. But League 2, again, proving a very difficult league to get out of. Moving on to Nottingham Forest, who the last time we were talking, we're just about to play Liverpool. We don't need to talk about that game. It's fair to say we were quite distraught, but one of the greatest atmospheres I've ever been at. Kieran, just briefly, your memories of the day. What was the atmosphere like? Have you ever experienced anything like that before?
The Liverpool away support is a myth. That's the first thing I am going to say. They were very quiet, actually, up until they scored. And it was quite disappointing. There was one time where they properly outsung the Forest fans before the goal, which was when they started singing LA, LA, LA. But other than that, honestly, it was quite disappointing from them in terms of support. The game itself, very, very tight. I think Forest definitely put a good account of themselves forward. Was just a shame that they couldn't hold on at the end. Obviously, it was like the
80th minute or 74th.
It was the 78th minute. Diogo Jota goal. Yeah. To be honest, up against one of the best teams in the world at the moment, little old Forest down in the Championship, doing an absolute brilliant job. So I think they should definitely have the heads up after that game.
I think that's a very good way of putting it. It was a tight game and we came away proud. The atmosphere, I've never experienced anything like it. It was 5 minutes before kickoff and you couldn't see us. Forza Garibaldi. Let's just talk about this. I know this isn't strictly Forest. It's a fan group outside of Forest who bring banners and stuff to the game. They have been sensational this year. Birmingham City, we're all standing together. There was for the West Brom game. We all follow the Forest with the camper van that went to, I want to say Munich or Madrid, one of the finals. It's a famous picture of Forest fans on their way. Obviously, the Liverpool motif with the little girl on the shoulder really blew me away. It was something you sort of dream about for your club, to have these beautiful displays teams for random games. But for the Liverpool game, that display just meant so much to me. It meant so much how I got into Forest. My dad being a Forest fan, and when we could go, it was going with dad over the train. It's just one of those days where you just want to take everything in. And we both didn't drink on that day because one, I was too nervous, and two, I didn't want to forget anything. And we both sat down after the game and just took it all in. It was a beautiful sort of not summer's day. And it was just one of those days that we just won't forget.
It was the best Muller for Kintyre that we've heard as well. Like, genuinely, it was so loud. Yeah, it was amazing.
Proper spine-tingling stuff. And speaking of spine-tingling stuff, Forest form up until Luton was sensational. 4-1 against Blackpool. Just an absolute dominant display against a team who could have done something. I was a little bit worried about Blackpool. And to just blow them away, Zinchenko, sensational. Brennan Johnson, those two goals, that touch, that calmness. How good's he been this year? He's one of those players that we just can't keep getting enough of.
No, he has been outstanding for Forest recently. he's just getting better and better as the season goes on. I remember at the start of the season, we were there, like, still a little bit unsure about him, whether he had the consistency to really, like, push Forest on. But especially in the second half of the season, he has really come to life, picking up pretty much a goal every game at the moment. Yeah. It's he's definitely Forest's top scorer at this point. And he's also, I think, like, second out of players under 22 or something like that for goals and assists in England's top in the four leagues in the English football, which is really impressive.
Ahead of players like Bukayo Saka, it's incredible how well he's doing. And he also has got a goal, I believe, for Wales. And it's not, and it's assists as well. I want to say his goal contributions are something like 21 and Saka's is 14.
Yeah.
It says a lot about this man was playing in League One last year. It's sort of the rise similar to, I'd say, Ivan Toney's. Hopefully Brennan will stay with us and not go to a Premier League club, but it's very understandable if he did. Coventry, so we're going to write Blackpool off as an absolute domination, but that one ball by McKenna through to Surridge, oh, it was gorgeous. Really good ball. And when your centre-backs are playing like that, delivering really aggressive balls, and it was a, and that's the right way to say it. It wasn't a sort of hoof up the pitch. It was a really good swinging away to Surridge. And Surridge is someone we'll come on to talk about a bit later following news about Keenan Davis. Coventry was the last home game you were able to go to, Kieran. Quite a routine win. But must be said, Coventry were quite a good little side, I thought.
Yeah, they were. I think it was definitely closer than the 2-0 scoreline suggests. If you watched the game without the goals, I would have probably said it would have ended 1-0 or even a draw, to be honest. They were a really good side. Felt weird watching a team play Forest in a sky blue kit as well.
Yes.
Very City-esque.
Yes, very Man City-esque. And one thing we both picked up on was actually they played, I'm not saying anywhere near the standard, but the actual stuff, the turns, the flicks, the passes of Coventry City were handled very well. And I thought Coventry played very well. But I think
they did.
Forest reacted to it. There was a bit of a 10-minute slot where Coventry could have got a goal, but they just reacted to it so well. And that's something Cooper has been so good at, is reacting to a good side playing. What do you think Cooper's mentality would be going into a big game, say a championship playoff game, Fulham and Bournemouth coming up? Being reactionary, do you think that's a positive thing to have, or do you think maybe Forest should assert themselves a bit earlier on in the game?
I think we do assert early on still. We go into the games knowing how we want to play, which is good. We have marauding wingbacks. They always push high no matter who we're playing. There are certain teams where they need to show a little bit more defensive discipline, such as Fulham. When we face them, I have a feeling we won't see Spence, or it'd be Colback still at that point, going as high. However, we will still go at them and not let them come at us. I think it's always good when you have a manager that has multiple plans than just a plan A, because if you go into big games doing the same thing and it doesn't work, and then you just carry on doing the same thing over and over, it's not going to work. It never will. They will just start coming at you, and eventually once one goal goes in, that's it, the more will come in, which is what we've seen, especially when Forest against West Brom happened. West Brom didn't change too much. I know they were down to 10 men, as we'll come on to a bit later on, but it just, they didn't change anything. And look at the scoreline.
Just look at the scoreline. Another 2-0 win after Coventry against Birmingham City. That game felt, if I'm honest, a little bit of an underperformance from Forest. They were just so dominant, scored so early. Keenan Davis scored an absolute beaut. Obviously, an Aston Villa loanee, made himself quite well known to the Birmingham City fans. Mm. Keenan Davis is now ruled out for the rest of the season following an injury at Luton Town. Lewis Graben missed last Monday's game due to illness. This striker's front three option has gone down to a front two now, due to Keenan being out for the rest of the season. How big of a miss is Keenan Davis to this Forest squad, Kieran?
I think he's a huge miss. No one in the squad can hold the ball up like he can. No one quite has the physicality that he has. However, we do have a very good backup option in Sam Surridge, who has proven that he can score. Yes, he is a slightly different striker going forward. However, I think Cooper's shown that him and Johnson can play alongside each other when he's come on in those kind of cameo performances, and he's picked up a goal every now and again. It just means maybe the midfield might have to play a bit differently. You might see Zinchenko playing behind him a bit more rather than drifting out to the wide positions, because obviously we're not going to be able to cross balls in when we have Surridge and Johnson, because they're not the two tallest lads in the world, whereas Davis is basically able to... Yeah, he's quite a big guy. So I wouldn't expect it to dent our momentum too much. However, it will be interesting to see how Cooper lines the team up without Davis in it.
Yeah, and obviously Forrest actually played for most of this second half of the season post-Christmas with only two strikers, with Surridge and Davis, due to, well, Graben being injured. It's not a defining loss. Forrest have been able to come back from losses. Speaking of which, Steve Cook is now back in the squad.
I also did see a report that he could possibly be back for the playoffs if we made the playoffs.
It's one of those,
very touch and go.
Yeah.
However, if he can get back for the playoffs, that'd be a huge boost.
Huge boost. And also another threat for other teams to focus on. But just going on that point of replacements, the next man up for Forest has been so many different players, whether it be Jack Colback playing for Lowe on the left back. Jack Colback's been sensational. It's just, we'll talk about that goal. Don't you worry. And then Tobias Figueiredo, a man who I'm not going to fully apologise for yet, because we're both very nervous about big Tobes at the back. He's been a very good replacement for Cook and McKenna when they've been in.
He has.
And that's not something I was expecting.
No, he still has a mistake in him, which is fair to say.
Yeah.
But he has been very, very solid. He's definitely brushed up on some of the kind of gaps in his kind of defence. And I feel like he still has a mistake in him, but they're a lot less frequent than he had before. I remember when I first started watching Forest at the start of the season, and Figueiredo was on the ball, I was like, oh God, it's Figs. Whereas now I'm slightly less like, oh God, it's Figs. And I'm like, it's Figs. Please don't do anything stupid.
Yeah. He's gone from bong levels to he's okay. Actually, some of the performances he's been putting in have been fantastic. With Steve Cook coming back from injury against West Brom, back on the bench and then came back on for some leg time, do you think Cooper will stick to McKenna, Cook and Worrell? Worrell is someone who's been absolutely fantastic and a pure rock at the back. Or do you think we could see a bit more rotation? Because that's something we've both been critical of, is with Panzo and Umbe So also not being used, it's very much felt that Cooper could rotate a little bit more.
Yes.
Do you think he will stick with the back three? A few games, let's just go through the Forest running. Peterborough, bottom of the table, should be going down soon. Fulham, who were on there, dare we say, should be on the beach soon. Swansea, Bournemouth and Hull City. You don't want to be putting in new players, your Panzos or Umbe So. You want to keep that back three, surely, Kieran?
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think the thing that I've been most critical of Cooper is the fact that he likes rotating the front line in games. The only subs he ever brings on seem to be attacking options. Mm-hmm. However, he doesn't change the back line very much, which is where we've found injuries creeping in, which I think if you're winning 2-3-0, just change one of your centre-backs. Yeah. Perhaps if he did that, Cook wouldn't be out at the moment. But, I mean, That's all if buts and maybes, to be honest. It's what could have been. But I think it is important to rotate your front line. That's where the goals always come in. And I think that is why he does it, because obviously, say Johnson is out for the season because he isn't rotated, that's a lot more detrimental to the season than maybe Cook being out, because obviously he saw something in Figueiredo that he could be a good replacement for Cook, and he was right. He's proven me and you wrong in that. But I think it's definitely important for him to keep a kind of consistent team going forward, especially in these last few games, because if you change a team up, it's going to lose momentum. The only time he should be rotating is if he thinks that a player is at a bigger injury risk than they should be.
Yes, very good point. Jed Spence came off for Richie Larea. Poor Richie Larea. £2 million from the MLS. And all Forest players would part, Garner and Worrell would go to the right hand side, look at Larea, and then not pass to him. It felt a little bit like bullying. It was like the kid from the year below was playing. And when he did get the ball, there was like sarcastic cheers that finally he was being passed to. So I think Jed Spence is going to be one of the few players who doesn't come off a lot of it. I think it's going to be a solid back five if Lowe can come back. Otherwise, Colback's been a fantastic deputy. But let's just briefly go on to this one defeat Forest have had against Luton Town. It was a game where Luton, okay, we can't say the word, but their housery was magnificent, I thought. Obviously, I don't want to say this as a Forest fan, but they completely got in Forest head. They completely dominated the mental aspect of the game, out-physicaled Forest. It was one of those games where Forest weren't mature enough, and that's something Cooper has said in his conference. The goal for Luton, it's outside the box. That's all we have to say. It was outside the box. Now, obviously, yeah, the referee can't see that. I thought it was a very iffy handball anyway. Then going back to, I think Forest also should have had a penalty or two. It wasn't very good refereeing, but that's the refereeing standard of the Championship, and we can't go back and change that. How big of a wake-up call do you think that was with the context of Monday night also in there, Kieran?
I think, I don't know, if you get a team that's on as good of a run as Forest, you've got to be careful that that complacency doesn't creep in. And I think it did a little bit in this game because Luton were there for the taking. It was, as you said, a very iffy handball, a penalty that was given to them. Forest had large amounts of the ball. They had 64% possession. Forest were in control of the game. That's the thing. It was just refereeing decisions going against them. And perhaps, as I said, a little bit of complacency creeping in that went against them in the end. And obviously there was that offside as well in this game that wasn't an offside because the rules of refereeing are if the player who is defending makes a genuine attempt to play the ball, then he miskicks it or it comes off him in any way, the player that is attacking is then deemed onside. Mm. That exact situation happened there, and Spence tucked it away. Great finish, may I say, through the legs of the keeper. For some reason, was ruled offside, even though the rules state that it should have been kept onside. So that's just another one of those kind of Championship refereeing decisions that you kind of just look at and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's very frustrating. And then we'll come on to the final game that we can talk about. Forest 4, Steve Bruce's West Bromwich Albion 0. A magnificent atmosphere at the ground, a really special occasion. It just felt that something was going to happen. And Forest, from the off, just looked dominant. The red card, it was a clear penalty. There's a difference. There's a difference between the penalty Forest could have had and then there's that penalty where it was just stone. Yeah. Johnson tucks it away so calmly. And from then on, it was pretty simple. Yates's header. Now, I was there. I was taken aback by the fact Forest took that throw-in. It was quite confusing. But to be fair, that has nothing to do with the corner. The West Brom man marking was atrocious. West Brom, as a team, should be in the playoffs. They're currently 12th and nowhere near the playoffs, in my opinion.
Well, they didn't register a shot on target in this game.
Did they not? Wow.
No, it's one shot, zero on target, 30% possession. It was just complete domination by Forest.
It was... And they're just the mental state of Forest being really calm and collected, not getting drawn into it, especially post-Luton, versus the mental state of West Brom. And I'm talking, we've all had like natters with the referee and gone up and said, what's going on here, ref? But people just screaming in the face of fourth officials. The right back kicked the ball into so the ball was dead and he just kicked it into the stand for no reason, after like a child, it seemed like. It was just like, what are you doing there? Got booked. The penalty was petulant. They were moaning about the Ryan Yates goal, which it's far the throw in. It's not at all controversial. Yates, an absolutely fantastic development. The Sam Sorris goal to finish it off. There was a real difference in the start of the season. You look at West Brom, they're looking at promotion. Look at Forest, we're at the bottom with Steve Cooper coming in on 4 points. If you just look at the first game Cooper has, it's a real turnaround. And I think it shows a lot about the Championship that it doesn't matter the money you have or the players you have. It's so important on the manager.
Yeah.
And let's take this a little bit of time to just praise Steve Cooper, because Forest have only had two games since the start of the year where they've gone goalless. Undefeated at home, the FA Cup run, the position Forest are in, 41 games played, 70 points on the board, two games in hand on Huddersfield and Luton Town and Sheffield United, who are behind us. Surely Forest in the playoffs now, Kieran.
Yeah, definitely looks that way. I mean, the running, other than Fulham, isn't the hardest either in the world. I think there's definitely games there that you should be winning. As you mentioned, Peterborough have to be winning that. Swansea, I would even argue we should be doing a very, getting a very good result there as well. Bournemouth are a tricky one because, yes, they're second. However, they have been struggling a little bit recently. Mm. And I think that they could be there for the taking. Obviously, this is looking 4 games ahead, so a lot can change in those 4 yeah. games. However, looking at current form, Bournemouth are there for the taking for me, could easily pick up a point, if not 3 there. And then Hull City to finish it off, well, it should be getting the points there. I'm sorry, Jack Napton, but Hull aren't doing great recently.
Hull are safe and are on the beach as well. A poor team on the beach is for the taking, surely. Yeah. There was a little bit of discussion about Forest napping the second spot and going for the autos.
I don't think it's happening anymore. Not after the Luton result.
Luton result was the big... Even if you've got a point there, it just tightens it up. But that loss really does suggest it's gone, in my opinion. But if you look at the form, Bournemouth are in. A 2-0 loss to West Brom, and we saw how poor West Brom were. Sheffield United, a 0-0. Middlesbrough, 0-0. Middlesbrough out of the running, I'm afraid, as well. Coventry, 3-0. Though on Monday, I'd say that final spot is gone, but I think Forest could easily come third. And if you look yeah. at the teams who Forest could play, it's a real mixture of someone from like Millwall who've come out of nowhere, Blackburn who've slipped and slipped and slipped, and Middlesbrough. I think QPR are completely gone. Middlesbrough have 42 games played, so could move up with a win to 66 points. And on goal difference, well, depends. They win by 3 or more, would be 7th or 6th. It's a tight one. It really is a tight one. Huddersfield, I think Forest could beat. That would be the fourth time we played them this year. 2-1 to Forest, if you do it as a series. Luton Town, I'm a little bit worried about. Very good side in Housery. Kenilworth Road is a real fortress. But they're someone we haven't beaten this year, I don't believe. It's a tough one. It really is a tough one. And then Sheffield United, famously Forest lost in the early noughties to them in a playoff game with a great team of Andy Reid, Dawson and Genus. A really good squad. There's no team I really want to play. But if you look at the form, there's only been, out of the top 10 teams, 8 teams have failed to register 3 points in 3 games in a row throughout those 8 teams. And Forest are one of the 2 that haven't. Fulham are the only other. If you look at the top 10 form, if you go from 5 games, 10 games, 15 games and 25 games,
Forest top them all.
Yeah. We're the form side. Forest are the form side. And we're not going to, I'm not going to ask the question outright. I'm not saying it, Kieran, but because we don't want to jinx it. But what badge will Forest be sewing on their sleeves next year? Will it be the EFL one or will it be a Premier League one? This is just a question about clothing. Nothing to do with the playoffs. Not at all.
I mean, the Premier League one is a little bit more stylish, isn't it?
It is.
So I would hope that it would be that one. Hmm. However, if it is the Championship one, I don't think there's any shame in that, especially considering the start to the season that Forest did have, and they will go again next season.
Definitely.
So, but I mean, we did kind of brush over one very important thing, that goal.
Oh, go on.
In the West Brom game. I was speaking to my friend, actually, who doesn't support Forest or anything, but he did see the goal and he summed it up very well. He said it was a fluke. However, it was the best fluke he has ever seen in his life. And I think that's a very adequate way of summing up the goal. It was honestly just ridiculous. It's one of them freak things that would never happen again as well.
I describe it, I'm going to be a little bit more positive here. It was like the Marco van Basten goal at Euro 88, but better.
Yeah.
It was a sensational strike.
You're saying Colback's better than van Basten then?
Well, it's hard to believe he's not Scholes or van Basten. It's going to be quite tricky to get in. Chan. But yeah, I think that it just sums the form up of Forest. Everything is going in. Everything is going Forest's way. Let's hope that Notts County can go up. Let's hope that Mansfield Town can sneak into those playoffs and get into League One. I wonder who they'll be playing in League One next year. Oh, I wonder. I hope Derby County fans can find the new lawn next year. That's Forest Green Rovers away for Derby County fans. That's not at all funny. The first time they'll be in the third division. We could be mean about it, but yeah.
It is a bit sad. I think the thing that we can say to Derby County is that Rooney has done an outstanding job given the circumstances. It did look like at one point that they were safe. However, obviously with the circumstances that went against them, I think they were always fighting a losing battle. And yeah. whether on, and I do really hope that they're still around next season, obviously, because it's always sad to see a football team go under. Yeah, I think they will definitely be back in the Championship in the next 5 years if they can sort out the financial situation.
League One is such a difficult league to get out of.
It is, Sunderland has been learning.
Portsmouth, Wigan, MK Dons, teams that you expect, well, maybe not MK Dons, but yes, it's been a fantastic episode. Kieran, Chatting Up Champions have released a latest episode reviewing the quarterfinals of the Champions League.
Yes, that is without me.
Oh, is that without you?
Yeah, I am, due to work commitments, could not make the episode, and I told them to go ahead without me.
Any thoughts on the Champions League quarterfinals that you'd like to get off your chest?
Not particularly, because I can't remember the fixtures off the top of my head at the moment. I can quickly get them up, 1 second.
It was Real Madrid versus Chelsea, Liverpool Benfica, Man City Atletico, and another game.
And
Villarreal Bayern Munich.
Yes, Villarreal Bayern Munich. I mean, I watched the Atletico Man City game and the Liverpool Benfica game in a pub. Honestly, the Atletico Man City game, it was quite funny, to be honest, because obviously at the end, the scrap, Atletico players kind of getting a bit of their own medicine. It was enjoyable to watch. Liverpool Benfica, I didn't really care about it, to be honest. Liverpool were already through at that point. The big one, obviously, is Bayern Munich being knocked out to Villarreal. Huge result for Villarreal. Was I wish I was watching that, to be honest, but I just couldn't. And then Real Madrid Chelsea, obviously Real Madrid through, Chelsea out. Alex Beaver was not happy about that, let's just say that.
No, just a brief one for Forest fans who might like this fact that I found out the other day. Forest versus Bayern Munich, obviously that famous game of us losing 5-1 at home, but getting a very good 2-1 loss away to Bayern Munich. If you listen to the post-match punditry of that game, it might sound quite familiar to certain Three Lions fans. We might put that at the end of the show. But yeah, it's been a fantastic episode, Kieran. Best of luck to all the Nottinghamshire and Nottingham teams. Kieran, go well and keep it URN.
Keep it URN.
On campus.
And online.
Online.
This
is
URN.
Bayern played well in the second half, but it's so much easier to play when you're 3-0 up and 4-0 up. On a wider context, I think it's bad news for the English game. The result tonight and the performances in Europe, for me, make a mockery of the people that continually say that we've got the best league in the world.
Not only get bad results in the European Championship, we'll go on getting bad results.